think it's a real good family entertainment. For me, it's much more comfortable in the theater. You have more freedom than you do in a theater.
There's something really groovy about a drive-in movie theater. The first one opened in Camden, New Jersey in 1933 and was the brainchild of chemical magnate Richard Holinshed Jr. Its opening drew the attention of Popular Science magazine.
Attention all stations. Kong is going west. He is making for the Empire State Building. Stand by for further reports.
First of its kind in the world, an open-air movie theater exclusively for motorists has just been opened. Patrons drive in and park their cars in semicircular rows. Then, without leaving the vehicles, they enjoy talkies projected on a 60-foot screen. Occupants of a car may chat or smoke without fear of disturbing others, since their car is, for practical purposes, a private theater box. A newly perfected system of directional sound makes the talkies as plainly audible to the farthest as to the nearest of the 400 cars accommodated. Each row is inclined so the cars may use the rear port as an aisle without interrupting anyone's view.
The drive-ins are clearly better, to my way of thinking. And I would say the main reason is freedom. At the drive-in, you are free to do what you want within reason. As long as you're not a jerk, you can pretty much just do what you want, and you're not going to be hassled. I mean, obviously, there has to be some rules. You can't switch screens, you know, you can't shout and honk your horn all night. But you can set up your lawn chair, you can kick back, you can talk to your friends. If you smoke cigarettes, you can smoke cigarettes. You can just, whereas if in a movie theater, you know, even if you put your feet up on the chair in front of you, people come around and say, put your feet down, you know. In the movie theater, you have people texting and talking, and it's really annoying. If people talk at the drive-in, you don't really hear them. You're in your car, you know. It's a lot more freedom, and it's just a lot more fun to be outside, either in your car or in a lawn chair, just sort of stretched out under the stars, nice cool breeze. It's hard to beat that, you know. Indoors, you're cramped. You're with a bunch of people who may or may not be paying attention to the movie, and you're really at their mercy. It's less the case at the drive-in, you know. My name is Philip Du Bois. I'm one of the founders of the Dead Till Dawn crew. There's two of us. I'm Phil Du Bois. My partner is Paul Casey. And this will be our second year doing the show here at the Highway Drive-In. I've been a pretty extreme movie fanatic since I've been about 8. Yeah, when I was 8, I saw a film starring Jimmy Stewart called Harvey. Jimmy Stewart plays an innocent guy with a tall, invisible rabbit friend, Harvey. And it really made a big impression on me.
What can I do for you, Mr. Dowd?
What did you have in mind?
What's your order?
Two martinis.
Two martinis.
Harvey, it seems that Vita.
And then I started to watch the Universal horror films and just completely fell in love with that. Mm-hmm. Moved on to the Hammer films. By the time I was in my teenage years, I saw Dawn of the Dead, and that was the last straw. Then it just became an all-out obsession for decades.
Yum, yum.
It still is.
It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
The Dead Till Dawn Drive-In Horror Festival is an all 35mm celebration of terror, gore, and even some laughter. The setting for the festival is the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York. The second Dead Till Dawn will take place over two nights, Friday, September 27th and Saturday, September 28th.
Yep, I'm Roger Babcock, owner and operator of the Highway Drive-In Theater in Coxsackie, New York. We're a four-screen drive-in. And we operate Friday, Saturdays, Sundays in the spring and the fall, and full-time right about when school lets out, right through Labor Day.
How long have you been open?
As far as the drive-in, 1951. I started working in about 71, selling tickets up in the box office, and started doing a little maintenance work for them. My wife was working in the snack bar about 1973. And they got old enough, they decided they might retire and made us an offer we couldn't refuse. And At that point in time, I tell everybody over half my life had been spent here, so it's very familiar. So we decided to take the gamble and see if we can make a go of it. So we started with one screen, and now we have four. Sounds neat, but now you have to go digital. You have to do four screens instead of one. So.
Babcock's dilemma is shared by independent theater owners of both drive-ins and traditional indoor screens. Big-time theater chains have already made the conversion to digital, but with the price of conversion over $50,000 per screen, independents are struggling to come up with the funds. With major studios threatening to phase out production of 35mm films altogether by the end of 2013, the message to theater owners is simple. Go digital or go dark.
I have approval from our local bank based on our history and longevity with that bank, Bank of Greene County. And we just decided not to do it this year at the peak of our season because it's a whole brand new thing to have to learn in the height of what we call the battle. So this will be something that we do end of February, March. And whatnot. So that's what we're trying to do. We've been approved for the loan and whatnot, and the bank agreed we'd start it in 2014. So that's what we plan on doing.
Satisfying and refreshing. They're so good. You get more out of life when you go out to a movie. Show starts in 4 minutes.
Babcock is one of the lucky ones. In Hudson, an independent indoor theater, the Fairview Cinema 3, faces an uncertain future. With only one of the three screens digital, owner Bruce Mitchinson has struggled to raise the $100,000 necessary to convert the remaining two screens. A grassroots coalition has formed to help raise funds, but Mitchinson admits that he may soon have two darkened screens. In Greene County, the Greenville Drive-In's future is very uncertain. Despite efforts to raise the $65,000 necessary to convert its single screen, the money has been slow in coming. It's uncertain whether Greenville will be able to reopen in 2014.
It's a hard time for all drive-ins. I mean, 5 years ago, it was $500,000 to the highway to convert. Prices have come down a little bit now, and my last quote was $280,000. But with digital, you have to have air conditioning, and you have to have heat year-round. You have to have what we call a clean room. All the portholes have to be in. You have to filter the air coming in, because computers don't like dirt, and they don't like temperature changes. So. And that's something we'll have to get used to.
The labor-intensive weekly cycle of booking and preparing the theaters will be drastically altered with the change to digital.
Well, we'll start right from the beginning. Monday morning is booking day. We have to negotiate with the movie companies about putting movies together. It's generally easier to be able to put two movies from the same movie company together and get a percentage deal on that. Typically, we pay 60% plus tax for a two-movie combination to put on one screen. If we put like a Warner Brother or Universal together, the percentages may be a little bit higher. Or they may make a deal with each other to put them, at a reasonable percentage. Come around Wednesday or so, the film gets delivered by UPS and bring it up into the projection booth, 18 steps up with an 80-pound box of film, one in each hand, 66 years old, getting tough. what we do is we open up these little boxes here. They could be anywhere from a four-reel movie, short one, to a nine-reel movie, which may be two cases. Sometimes they'll send them out under lock and key and give us a code about 12 to 24 hours before they open. We get to find out if they're heads up or tails up, and that means backwards or forwards. And sometimes we have to rewind them to get them all the same way to be able to put on what we call a platter. And that's exactly what it is. It's a 54-inch picnic table that spins around with 2 miles in film on it. And we start with reel one and build that up till we get to the end of the reel. Put in a piece of aluminum tape that'll cue it to shut off, right? And during intermission, we run it on silent till we get to the start for the second one and give them 10 to 15 minutes to get popcorn and sodas, and then hit the start button and off we go on the next one. But both movies are on one platter. That gives us the ability to make up shows that are coming in for like a Wednesday or Tuesday opening or Thursday opening on the third platter, mm-hmm. right? So we can do a little bit of work ahead of time. And then Thursday nights, generally, it means taking at least a show down, putting it back in the box with the correct heads and tails on them so the next guy can put it together and make no mistakes. And put it back in the box office for UPS to pick up, and then the movie company sends out a statement and we have to pay them a lot of money. And pretty soon we'll just be putting the start button and ingest zeros and ones into a computer, and theoretically it all goes right. Haven't proven that yet though.
This drive-in theater is radioactive. Now you can hear tonight's show on your AM car radio. Turn your ignition key to the accessory position. This will not drain your car battery. Now turn on your radio and zero in on the following AM station.
We'll start from scratch. Okay. We'll go way over to projector one because that's the big baby. This little Cayenne track is the soundtrack. That matches up with the LED reader, which is like a laser that goes into Adobe Analog, right? Then we send that over to what we call a processor. And that's the SmartMod 2B. And it separates it into a left channel and a right channel for stereo. Okay, then we put it into an FM stereo that we designate which FM channel it goes out on for what screen. And that's how they can come in. They get told what radio station to go to, and that's how they pick up their movie.
Well, do you ever have little speakers on the poles? You know.
Yeah, when you go down in the snack bar, you'll see in a couple of corners, you'll see the original posts and the original baskets and the original speakers.
When did you stop having those?
About 1 year after I opened myself and got tired of replacing the stolen speakers. Or picking up the broken glass from the windows of the cars that forgot they had a speaker in their car window. So we took them all out and relied only on our AM and FM channel. And the AM is a little more staticky, so we just got rid of it. Still works, but we got rid of it, so we're all FM now.
And how long's that been the case?
1975 came the AM and the FM. We had the AM for a few years before that. FM followed about maybe 3 or 4 years after that. But the big changeover for us was 1975. We went from carbon arc to xenon lamps, right? Instead of 20-minute reels up and down and switching them again every 20 minutes, we went to one great big sword system platter and whatnot. And
well, I've been coming to the Highway Drive-In since I've been driving. So I'd say I've been coming here since the mid-80s, and it's become my home away from home. When I first started coming here, there was only one screen, but I was here every single weekend. And as it expanded, I came here more and more, and it really did become a home away from home, and I got to know Roger and I got to know Sharon. And there was one season a couple years back where I was having kind of a hard time and I needed work. And he stepped right up and said, "Oh, come on in." Yeah. And so I was able to work here for a summer and learn quite a bit about being a projectionist. And that was really quite wonderful. And it was that relationship that allowed the Dead Till Dawn show to actually come to fruition in the first place. Because if Roger and I didn't have this working relationship, perhaps it never would have occurred to me to really give it a try.
The great thing that I saw last year is the convertible cars, and some of them were older, coming in. They didn't care if it was misty or chilly or whatever out there. They came in their convertibles and they had a good time. And apparently some knew each other from some of the other festivals that Philip goes to and whatnot, and they just brought it right in here. So hopefully we made them feel like it's a home, away from home again, like Philip said. And we can continue. So it's expanded from one night to two nights now. I don't know if I could take a third. That's a lot of hours for a 66-year-old guy. But yeah, I think they all had a good time. I was absolutely astounded in the behavior mm-hmm. of the crowd. I wasn't really expecting that, you know. And young, old, decrepit, didn't matter. They were here.
Zombies.
They wanted to watch. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the most upsetting thing, and Philip probably doesn't want to hear this, is my wife went a little overboard with the decorations and whatnot, and we were about the only people in the whole drive-in that were totally dressed up as zombies.
Can I have
your phone? So, no, it's here.
Over my condiment counter.
She's got good pictures on hers. I didn't get any pictures. Not really.
I only
it's my smoke
a couple
cone machine.
I might take more this year. It's hard, though, because I know...
It's my cooler.
One reason I picked that weekend was because it worked with Roger, but for another thing, the other big drive-in festival is the Super Drive-In Monsterama, which is in Vandegrift, just outside of Pittsburgh. It's actually the inspiration for our show. And they have their show on the first weekend of September. So by having ours at the last weekend of September, it gives people enough of a break to where they can actually go to both if they so choose. And so that was really the thinking behind having it at the end of September.
You're going to that one?
I go to that every year. It's in fact, the zombie show last year was initially going to be something that George Reese put together. George Reese is the man behind Super Drive-In Monsterama. And he had a second location. There was a drive-in owner called Crazy Bob, Crazy Bob's Harvest Moon Drive-In Theater in central Pennsylvania. And they were going to do these five classic Italian zombie movies from the 80s. And I was beside myself with excitement. I was like, I can't believe I'm going to have the chance to see these movies at the drive-in. But when Crazy Bob backed out of the deal, it was canceled, and I was very disappointed. And over the course of a couple of weeks, it gradually dawned on me that I know the man who owns the 35mm prints. I know Roger, who owns the drive-in. I have money to put together the show myself, so, you know, why don't I just do it myself? And I spoke with everyone. And then I was telling my friend Paul Casey about it, and he was extremely excited, too. And he said, hey, how would you like a partner? And Paul, he's one of the founders of Subway Cinema in New York City. He's one of the founders of the New York Asian Film Festival. He's been putting on shows like this for decades. So I thought about it for about a second and a half before I said, yes, please, Paul, come on, come aboard. Initially, I sort of thought, well, if I lose a few $100s, that's fine, because I spend a few $100s to go all the way out to Vandegrift anyway, so that's fine. It didn't really occur to me that it was going to, you know, be successful. I wasn't really sure. So I said, you know, Paul, this is by no means a sure thing. You might be, you know, throwing your money away. But no, he was fine with it, and you know, while no one's getting rich off this, you know, we didn't lose money, so that's so.
The impressive thing about your zombie fest last year was one, it was about 60 degrees, which is chilly for a drive-in, but it was raining off and on, spritzing all night long, and you still had 150 cars in here, which is not typical for the end of September at a drive-in theater. So we thought he did very, very well for the short time that Philip had to get this thing together and promote it. But I think the customers were happy. And believe me, they stayed for all five movies. It was hard to kick them out at the end of the night, I swear, you know, so.
Well, this year you don't have to kick them out because they can camp out overnight. So you don't even have to kick them out. Well, until Sunday, I suppose. You'll have to get your big boot so you really kick everybody out.
The preview you are about to watch is for a movie that is unlike any you have ever seen before. It is for a movie that goes beyond temporary fear to everlasting terror. It is a movie called Demons.
Dead Till Dawn showcases the range of horror films with a focus on obscure and underappreciated movies.
Warning, if you have the courage to see demons sit near an exit.
The second movie is a classic from Italy called Demons. Shares a lot of similarities with the zombie film. And it's pretty outrageous. It's pretty gory. And it's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite Italian horror films. My favorite moment, well, I hate to give anything away, but there's a moment when a helicopter comes crashing through the ceiling of the movie theater for no apparent reason. I love that. It's just sort of a... It sort of makes you scratch your head and say, WTF.
Some strange woman starts shooting up people, and you won't believe this. She can't be killed.
Will you stop calling me lady? I'm not a lady, I'm an anthropologist.
The next movie is even more obscure, but one of the craziest that we're going to show. It's Lady Terminator. That is sort of, if you mixed the East Asian folk tales with a complete and utter ripoff of Terminator, you have this sort of very unusual hybrid that, especially to Western audiences, is just absolutely mind-blowing.
Safe from us, slithery serpents of doom. Devil woman takes you into a realm seldom open to human eyes. The cave of the mystical rituals of the Brotherhood of Satan will strip your nerves screamingly raw to keep your mind snapping.
The last movie of Friday night is Devil Woman, which is the only movie none of us have seen. But it promises to have some good kung fu action, some good Devil Woman with snakes in her hair, and lots of weird scariness. I have actually posted the trailer on the Dead Till Dawn site on Facebook. It's definitely worth looking at because it's what sold me on showing it. It should really be enough to sell anyone on watching it.
For more than 3 months now, we've been living in the jungle. Our only means of communication with the outside world has been this small plane, which at the moment is under repair, and the helicopter has been bringing out our supplies. We came here in the first place to make a film taken from a true story, and while filming, we...
Jungle Holocaust isn't as hardcore as Diodato's other film, which is Cannibal Holocaust. That's pretty notorious. We didn't do that one this year. What we're doing is slightly toned down Jungle Holocaust. But even though I say it's slightly toned down, don't get the idea that it's some like wimpy PG-rated thing. It's not. Then you might want it to be toned down a little. Followed by the hilariously titled The Werewolf versus the Vampire Women. that stars Paul Naschy, the king of Spanish werewolves. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the final movie, we're going to wrap up with Raw Force, which is the alternate title to that is Kung Fu Cannibals. And if that doesn't sell you, then I don't know what's going on with you. That's a... Absolutely amazing. And once again, when you see these movies at 2 in the morning, there's just no way that you're not going to question your sanity.
Babcock and Du Bois share a love of cinema, and drive-ins in particular, and they look forward to the weekend and future collaborations.
This is the first time in a long time that I've lived more than 35 minutes away from the highway. I go through withdrawals, sort of, living out in Buffalo. There's drive-ins out there, but they don't have the personal touch, you know? I don't like them nearly as much as the highway. This is, as I've said probably 3 times, this is my home away from home. And
Philip should be feeling very used and probably doesn't know it. First off, I'd have to say, good customers make great employees. They've already got the routine down pat. They've already recognized the no switching screens, they've pre-programmed into their cars, the 4 radio stations and all. But Philip is the type of guy that you can meet down in front of the snack bar during intermission and say, how'd you like the film? And get an honest answer, right? And of course, I can use Philip to sit here and say, what do you think about this one coming up? And he doesn't even know I'm trying to pull a little information out of him because he likes movies. He knows all about them and he knows the information and whatnot. So And it's helpful. So, feel used.
Do my best. Okay. I try to be useful.
Document of the last cannibal world.
For information and tickets to the Dead Till Dawn Drive-In Festival, search Dead Till Dawn on Facebook or call the Highway Drive-In at 518-731-8672. WGXC 90.7 FM will be broadcasting live from Dead Till Dawn this weekend. Come
Show
find us under the big white tent.
Minutes.
Thanks to Roger Babcock and Phil DuBois for spending time with Jesper Glisi, who produced this segment.